for Christmas. Amen. Well, before we get into it, let's join our hearts saying to the prayer. Oh, praise your name, Lord. You, O God, have shown in our hearts the light of the knowledge of your glory in the face of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that we are all being changed into your believers from one degree of glory to another. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, because this comes from you. And Lord, we pray that you would speak now, because we, your people, are listening. And we pray, Lord, that we would not just be hearers, but, Lord, we will allow ourselves to be transformed, that we might go forth this day to be doers indeed of your holy word, that our lives would be more of the reflection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks and praise ahead of time. And it's in his mighty name, all God's saints said.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are you ready for Christmas? Saints, I want to take a moment now and ask that we watch this remixed version of the 12 Days of Christmas.
Seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying, five golden rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves.
made them former biscuits. We just, you know, cut the top off them. And they were still good. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, saints, are you ready to meet Christmas? You know, we meet ourselves coming and going, and we call it the Christmas rush. And sometimes the Christmas season becomes very hectic. Amen? And because of that, we tend to forget much of the reason for the season. There is a Christmas story about a little girl who watched her mother and dad getting ready for Christmas. And to her, it seemed that dad was preoccupied with bundles and with burdens, and mom was concerned with parties and presents, and they just had no time for her. She felt that she was being shoved aside. In fact, it seemed to her that she was always being told, "Honey, would you please get out of the way?" So one night, she knelt beside her bed and she prayed this prayer. "Dear God, who art in heaven, please forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us." Saints, if you stop to think about it, stress is nothing new in Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
The events surrounding the very first Christmas were filled with almost imaginable stress. Just think a moment as we were listening to Sandra read our scripture text, what it was like for Mary and Joseph. All of a sudden, angels start popping up, scaring the daylights out of everybody. Mary is pregnant out of wedlock. Joseph, he wants to quietly break off the marriage, but he is told that Mary is carrying the Son of God and it's up to him to care for them. Joseph is then compelled by law to return to the city of his birth for the census. And so they find themselves on the road, no stops, no restaurants, no restrooms, no comforts. And when they finally arrive in Bethlehem, Joseph discovers there are no vacancies and they're going to have to stay in a barn. Finally, Jesus is born. And the wise men visited Mary and Joseph and presented them with their gifts. And when they leave, they go to bed, and Joseph has a dream. An angel tells Joseph in the dream to flee to Egypt because Herod is going to try to kill Jesus. And Herod was a mean, vicious person. So there was Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus running for their lives, fleeing the country. How many think that might have been a little stressful? Their family, amen, was back in Nazareth. They hadn't even been able to say goodbye. They didn't bring a wagon loaded up with all of their possessions and their valuables and furnishing. And Joseph probably had a carpenter shop back home in Nazareth. And he's probably wondering, what's going to happen to my carpenter shop? And Joseph and Mary, they had traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem, expecting to only stay a few days and then return home. They hadn't planned on moving, lock, stock, and barrel. Their life was just turned upside down, topsy-turvy. Nothing would ever be the same again. So, saints, I want to submit to us that there was a lot of stress associated with that first Christmas. A little boy and a little girl were singing their favorite Christmas carol in church one Sunday before Christmas. The little boy concluded Silent Night with these words, "Sleep in heavenly beans." His sister elbowed him and said, "No, not beans, peas." Peas. Well, saints, the way many of us feel by the time we're ready for Christmas, that song might as well be beans or peas instead of peace. Amen. Because sometimes in that frantic rush, we've been running around, we feel everything but peace. Well, in addition to our 12 days video, I try to compile a list of potential things that happen during this time of the year, which may contribute to increased stress. See if any of these ring a bell for you. Shopping for gifts. You can just lift your hand up and you can bring it down. Shopping for gifts. Getting the necessary parties to the parties. Putting up decorations. Cooking meals. Oh, all right, wrapping the gifts. Making enough cookies and breads to give away. Buying and decorating the tree. Fighting traffic. Fighting lines in the stores. Having enough money to buy gifts. If you're married, trying which parents you're going to be with or where you're going to go. All the stores, amen, I heard an amen here. All the stores are out of gifts that you are looking for. Three frightening words, some assembly required. Having the right clothes for those special occasions. Gaining weight. Christmas programs for kids at school and church. Untangling the strands of lights. Sending out Christmas cards. Cleaning the house. Forgetting someone whom you should have purchased a gift for. Feeling the pressure to make a memory. Knowing the year is coming to a close and you didn't accomplish what you intended to. Facing relatives that you don't really get along with. All of your work is due on a rapidly approaching December 25th deadline. Yes. Knowing that maybe you'll spend Christmas alone. Three often overlooked words, batteries not included. Being a part of a family that celebrates separately because of divorce. Christmas lights that won't work. Arranging traveling schedules. Missing loved ones who have passed away. Paying off credit cards. Weeding through those crowded stores. Members of your family who find where you hid their presents. Well, Saints, when you compile a list like this, it's easy to see why Christmas time is a major stress time in our lives. Amen. Well, Saints, does Christ have anything to say to us during the midst of this season of hurry and rush? I believe, amen, that Jesus does. After all, it's Jesus' birthday party, amen? So let's see what he thinks about all of this. There is a humorous little story in the Gospel of Luke that shows how busyness and stress gets in the way of what matters most. And it may seem to be unusual to choose this for a Christmas message because it doesn't contain a Christmas story, but I'm going to ask that you turn to the back of your order of service. And we're going to see Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It's not Jesus' birthday here, but it was a party, and Jesus was the honored guest. So I'm going to ask that we would read Luke 10, 38 through 42 together. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Amen. Saints, understanding what Jesus said to Martha about Mary, it's easy to see that we enjoy the season much more when we focus on what is needed.
Amen.
Amen. What is stress? Well, looking at this text, verse 40, Martha said, Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Saints, I think Martha was expecting and experiencing stress. Rushing around to try to get everything done. I mean, after all, Jesus was in her house. How many know that stress when you're having guests? And here she says, doesn't anybody care how busy I am? And she comes into the room with the hors d'oeuvres and says, oh, Mary, dear sister, there you are. Just don't bother getting up, sweetie. And then Jesus, I wish that you could just say something to her so she would get up. I brought you all this fresh grape juice, but I guess I'll just go back to the kitchen all alone and keep serving and working hard. What is stress, saints? Stress is your body's alarm system. And I want to just share a few facts today about stress. The first is, no one can live without experiencing some degree of stress. Now, we may think that only a serious disease or some major major catastrophe or injury or mental injury can cause stress. This is not true. That's false. Even crossing a busy intersection, crossing 105 in St. Clair, exposure to a draft, or even joy, winning a prize, that can actually activate our body stress mechanism to some extent. So you see, stress is not even necessarily bad for us. It's also the spice of life. For any emotion, any activity causes stress. Now, secondly, stress can be caused by anything that creates a state of arousal or alarm in our system. By anything that mobilizes our bodies against hostility or threatening or challenging events in our environment. Now, if you would look there in your notes, stress can result from anything that annoys you, threatens you, prods you, excites you, scares you, worries you, hurries you, angers you, frustrates you, challenges you, criticizes you, or anything that reduces your self-esteem. Stress can be caused by almost anything pleasant or unpleasant. Now, the experts say that getting married is actually more stressful than getting fired from your job. And the experts say that retirement is more than twice as stressful as moving to a new residence. And we know moving is very stressful. Amen. All right, saints, I want you all to think about this rubber band. Now, this rubber band, it stretches. All right, I want you to imagine just stress coming into your life. All right, now, if you've got this stress and you just keep on with that stress going on, you keep on stretching and keep on stretching, eventually, two things possibly could happen. One thing, you just might pop. You don't want it to pop. That's not good to pop. All right, the other thing, if you're able to not pop, you're going to stretch so that you lose your elasticity. All right, you're going to keep getting weaker and weaker. All right? All right, so I thought about shooting it, you know, but I won't do that because I'll probably shoot my face and going that way. Oh, if our body saints are repeatedly held in a state of alarm, they're going to show damaging consequences. And I just want to share a few symptoms of stress. The experts say frequent headaches, stiffness in the neck, shoulders, or jaw, arms, legs, hands, or stomach, irregular heartbeats, getting dizzy or lightheaded, suffering from colds, flus, hoarseness, indigestion, nausea, discomfort in the stomach, difficulty falling or staying asleep, waking up feeling tired in the morning, cold hands or cold feet, excess perspiration, anger, and irritability. Saints, the holiday season can be a period of major stress, and as this rubber band gets stretched, and stressed and stretched, this is not where we're supposed to stay. Now, some of us may be here already. Anybody feeling a little stressed today? I wouldn't be surprised if there's a number of us here today who have exchanged heated words with people that you care about already this holiday season. I wouldn't be surprised if there were some of us here today who said you were actually not even looking forward to the next 2 weeks. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if there's somebody here today already sitting here right now arranging your to-do list and what you got to do today, what you got to do this week, while you're secretly pretending to listen to this sermon. You're just pretending because you're doing your list in your head. This is a difficult time of the year. Yes. So what we've seen of stress, what is our cure, saints? How can we be calm in the midst of all this busyness and hecticness that surrounds us this time of the year? How can we be like Mary in this passage and simply focus on what is needed? All right, saints, everybody say with me, first of all, lay out a plan. Yeah. Lay out a plan. Now, saints, I would confess to you all this day, there have been Christmas days that by the time 3 o'clock in the afternoon came, I was so painfully exhausted that I was like delirious, like walking like this, you know. And I would just have to lay down for a few hours and miss some of the wonderful activities that were happening because I only got a half an hour of sleep that night. So touch your neighbor and say, got to lay out a plan. Lay out a plan. All right. State your expectations up front. Say, what is the main thing that needs to happen for me and for my family this Christmas? State your expectations with one another. Make a plan. Plan ahead. And share the loads with other family members. You don't have to do everything. Clean the house. Cook the dishes. Wash the dishes.
I've been running around.
Wash the dishes. You don't have to do it all. Oh, thank God for family members who will jump in and share the load. Hallelujah. So you don't have to be like this on Christmas Day. Amen. Now the next thing is lighten the calendar. Sit down as a family and decide which events do we really want to go to, which events are optional. We'll go to it, we might not. Sit down and lighten your calendar. And then everybody say with me, respect your budget.
Respect
your budget. Just ask yourself, have you determined how much you're going to spend when you go shopping? Amen. You might have to leave a couple cards at home, or whatever you need to do, determine ahead of time. Tell your neighbor ahead of time how much you're going to spend. Amen. Now, secondly, put your most significant relationships first. Amen. So the most significant relationship, saints, is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Spending personal time with Him every day, you and the Lord. Making Him first in your life. Worshiping Him at home and at church. Hallelujah. With the saints. And then if you're married, your spouse. Having a date night and fun times with your spouse. And then your family. Spending time with your family. Don't neglect your family for other obligations. Believe me, saints, you'll regret it later in life. And you'll honor Jesus Christ by honoring your family. And then honor closest friends who feel like family. Give them your time and your energy. Thirdly, look for the spiritual dimension in everything. All right, you're cleaning the house. Hallelujah. Just say, oh, praise your name, Lord. It's like preparing my heart for you, Lord Jesus, as you're dusting. Oh, I'm preparing my heart. I'm preparing my heart as I'm preparing this house. How about gift giving? When you're giving, just think like, I am like the wise men, giving, and what a joy it is to give the colors of the holiday season. And then focus on those who are in need, and you'll find yourself indeed blessed. Saints, the holidays don't have to be the most stressful time of the year when we're like Mary and we're focusing on what is needed. You see, the reason Christmas happened, saints, was that Jesus came to take away our sin. Saints, we were lost and we were dead in our trespasses. And that is the point of Christmas. There was sin in the world. Mary and Joseph were sinners. The shepherds were sinners. The wise men were sinners. They all were sinners. And we too are sinners. All of us were on our way to hell, saints, until God did something. And God did something. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God sent Jesus Christ. And the purpose of that little infant's existence was that he was to be the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. For all of humankind. What a miracle that we celebrate this season. And once we realize what a miracle we're celebrating and we're focusing on Jesus, hallelujah, then we start to get what Christmas is all about. I want us right now just to take a moment and think about what God did. If you can imagine right now being a little tiny infant. Now, if you imagine Jesus, here he became an infant. He gave up, you know, muscle coordination. He gave up language, a baby's not able to speak. He gave up bladder control. All of this, Jesus gave up as he came to be a little infant. That's what God did for us on Christmas. And actually, if you could imagine yourself becoming a little slug, all right? You know, that's in comparison probably more closer to what it was like for God to come and to become a baby, to be an infant for our sake. That's a miracle, what Jesus did for us. And since when we realize what Jesus has done for us and we focus on the miracle of a new life in Him, suddenly all the craziness of Christmas, suddenly it's easier to take. When we focus on what Jesus has done for us, Christmas becomes more easier to enjoy. It's like God becoming human. Now that's something to celebrate. That's something worth having a party for. That's something worth inviting the in-laws and the outlaws and everybody to come. We got something to celebrate, saints. Oh, hallelujah. That God would become a human, a little baby, to take away our sin. That is worth celebrating. That is worth putting the decorations up. That is worth putting the lights up. That's worth the gatherings and the food and the fellowship. We have a reason to celebrate.